Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Well, I wasn't planning on doing this tonight, but I'm glad that I am. I'm enjoying the moment. I'm glad to be hosting. Would I rather be doing Cardinal baseball right now? I guess. I don't know. I'm good with either. That's one of the benefits of the job that I have. Whether I'm doing Cardinals pre-post or hosting Sports Open Line, I'm pretty happy with either one. If you don't know what's going on, if you just got into your car, maybe a little late night at work, maybe you just worked till 6 o'clock most nights and you tuned in and you're like, where's the Cardinal game? Well, Cardinal game got postponed. No game tonight because of rain in Cincinnati. So they are going to play two games coming up tomorrow, and it's going to be a day-nighter. First game is scheduled for 11:40 a.m. St. Louis time. So that means our coverage tomorrow is going to begin, can I say bright and early at 10:45? Like bright, generally bright and early infers like 6, 7, maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. But we're not talking about like normal time. We're talking about baseball time. So everything shifts. And in baseball time, 10:45 in the morning is bright and early. So Kyle Sexton, I'm going with him. Am I good with that?
I think you're good with it. Okay. The bigger thing is that it probably won't be bright outside. I think it's going to rain tomorrow too.
Okay, so gloomy and early, overcast and early, whatever you want it to be. It's going to be early. 10:45 is when our broadcast will start. We'll have a little bit of a break in between, and then second game is at 5:40, so the standard 4:45 pregame for that. And there's going to be a lot of baseball. There's going to be a lot of baseball on KMOX tomorrow. The Dave Glover Show will be in between, and we'll get they'll do a lot of baseball because Wheels is going to be there, but it's going to be fun. But we are here tonight, and we've got a couple things planned. We'll see if anything else pops up. Again, kind of throwing this show together at the very last moment. But our good friend Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. today. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. Our good friend Joe Roderick from Sports Hub STL, he's going to join us at about 7:35. And we're going to have plenty of time to talk to you. So if you want to call, text, tweet, or leave a voice message or leave a comment on our stream, you're able to do so. Again, the phone number is, and this is for calling and texting, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or if you are listening or watching on the video stream, as we see that number continue to grow, just leave a comment and we can address that as we go along. So the Cardinals don't play today. They lose yesterday. Again, I don't want to spend the entire show rehashing what we did on the Extra Inning show last night and what we just did during Redbird Rush Hour. And I want to bring a little common sense to all of this because, man, people are freaking out about the home road thing. And I get it. I'm like, there's no even putting lipstick on a pig here to try to make that road record look good. I mean, it's bad. It's really, really bad. It's 2-12. It is the only team in baseball that has a worse road record than the Cardinals are the Colorado Rockies, who are 1-14 on the road. By the way, sidebar, how bad are the Rockies? Like, this is, we spent so much time last year talking about how bad the White Sox are, and they were, and they deserved every bit of criticism that went their way. Why don't we criticize the Rockies the same way we criticized the White Sox last year? A criticism of the White Sox last year was a national thing, right? If you were watching baseball, the White Sox were the running joke of the season. And no matter what corner of the baseball world you were speaking from, it was a very normal thing. Why aren't we treating the Rockies the same way? Why do they, not that they get a free pass, because it's a little bit out there. I follow Woody Page on Twitter, around the horn guy, but he's a Denver guy. He used to write for the Denver Post. Now he writes for the Denver Gazette, I think it is. It's the same people who own like the Colorado Springs Gazette. I think it's an online only newspaper, but he's a Denver guy. And to his credit, he has been killing, just absolutely destroying the Rockies on his social media. But like outside of that, it seems like they're just kind of, it's anecdotal. Every once in a while, somebody say something about the Rockies, but we're not treated in the way they should. They have a terrible owner. That's one of the things that also bugs me. Let's bring this back to St. Louis. I see it all. There is a very good chance that between, especially now that I'm about to say what I'm about to say, because some smart aleck out there is going to tweet, is going to send me a text message. There's a very good chance that sometime between now and 8 o'clock, the text line will say, you know, sell the team, the DeWitts need to sell, yada, yada, yada. That is something that I see all the time. And I'm not trying to be, if you feel that way, I'm really not trying to be disrespectful to you. But people who say that just don't realize the job that the DeWitts have done. How much the DeWitts care about the Cardinals? Are they without criticism? No. Like the team is in the spot that they're in right now, in part because the DeWitts allowed it to go down to the point where it's at right now. They're also working very hard to lift it back up, and it's going to be a process. I believe that. So I'm not letting them completely off the hook, but the DeWitts are very good owners. And then you go compare the DeWitts to some of the other owners in baseball and in pro sports for that matter. And like, honestly, I'm going to be a jerk here. I'm just going to be a jerk because I can do that every once in a while. If you honestly think that the DeWitts should sell the team, you have zero clue of what's going on in professional sports in the United States outside of St. Louis. Okay? That's it. Because there are terrible owners. There are terrible owners who don't care, who simply do not care. People ask me sometimes, do the DeWitts care about the empty seats at Busch Stadium? You bet you know what they do. They don't like that. They don't like it at all. And hopefully we don't see that moving forward, that the team lifts itself up enough in hopefully a fairly short amount of time that the empty seats aren't as existent as they are right now.
You think Dick Monfort in Denver, Colorado cares about the empty seats? You think Bob Nutting, I think that's his name, the guy in Pittsburgh, cares about the empty seats? Like I can, the dude in Minnesota, you think he cares about empty seats? No. They're cashing their checks from the national TV money. They're looking for their new sources of revenue and income, and they're putting a blank product on the field. So I feel pretty strong about that. All right, wasn't planning to talk about that this segment. See, this is the thing when we don't have a whole lot planned over a two-hour show trying to put this thing together at the last second. You get that from me. Lynn Worthy's going to join us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back at it, it's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you till 8 o'clock this evening. At 8 o'clock, it's a replay of the Gas House Gang. And you know what? Maybe the benefit of having a Cardinal rainout Tuesday Gas House Gang, that's one of the best ones of the week because you have an unfiltered conversation with Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, and he's on for the first half hour, so if you missed that earlier today, you'll be able to rehear it beginning at 8 o'clock this evening. Let's bring on right now, he is a sports columnist with the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He is our good friend Lynn Worthy. Lynn, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing good. I hope all is well, Matt.
Yeah, doing all right. Let's start with the Blues. You've obviously been writing a lot about them lately as they continue their playoff run. Like, what do you make of this, not just the them winning two games in a row here, but just kind of the totality of what we've seen from this team over the last 6 weeks or so where they went on that great run. They had a little bit of a lull at the end of the regular season, lost the first two games against Winnipeg, but then they've just been dominant in the last two games here in the playoffs. It's just, it's so much fun right now watching them do what they're doing.
Yeah, it's an incredible atmosphere at Enterprise for those two playoff games over there for both. And even just on the stretch of the regular season when they were in that streak, and, you know, I think the last couple of wins they had in the streak were games pull out the wins, you know, within sudden death and that sort of thing. So it's just really crazy. The fact that they just, since the Four Nations break, have been one of the best teams in hockey. And up until that point, you weren't sure which direction the teams are going to go or what, and, you know, there was some debate about what to do at the trade deadline. So they really have completely, you know, changed sort of the outlook on the season. And now you're in a series where you could knock off the team that had the best record in the NHL.
Hey, Lynn, we've got a little bit of a tough connection with you. We're going to hang up and call you right back, if you don't mind that.
Sure.
Okay. So we're going to get Lynn right back here in just a moment or so. He sounded a little bit digitized there. So we'll get him back on and hopefully have a little bit of a better connection with him coming up in just a moment or so. Blues are going to get back at it for Game 5 coming up tomorrow as they play in a best of three series. I enjoyed reading what Lynn had to write in his most recent column about the Blues where talked about Braden Schenn's line. And, you know, I think one of them, and this is when we get him back on the phone, I want to ask him about this because this group and the way they've been able to play through injuries and mix and match a little bit has been really, really good. And, you know, obviously when Dylan Holloway took a step out, they needed to figure out what they wanted to do. And now that that second line is a group that continues to perform, we do have Lynn Worthy back. Lynn, sorry about that. Glad to get you back on. I thought you made a really good point when your most recent column that ran today talked a lot about that second line and how that group needs to go out and continue to, you know, perform and score goals and not worry about, as it says in the headline, not worry about being bruisers, but indeed go out and help this team win games.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that is just the fact that, you know, they had to restructure that line after the loss of Don Holloway. And he made that second line really, at least that second line with him on it, whether or not it was him, it was a combination. But that second line was really a driving force in a big chunk of the season, and also during that streak that they went on that put them in the playoffs. I mean, the Robert Thomas, Pavel Buchnevich line has been obviously their top line and their most productive line. But the Braden Shen, Holloway, Kyrie line has been one of almost on par with them as far as production throughout the entire season.
So on that line, though, you do have Jake Neighbors, and he has been a hitting machine. What do you make of the physicality that we have seen from this team, especially in the last two games?
Yeah, the fact that they set such a tone, I mean, like, you love that when you see the season and the series start and you see the first period. I think Braden Shen set like a record for hits in a first period of playoffs. But at the same time, to me, it was like, okay, you saw the difference there in game four by actually creating scoring chances. And when you look at the numbers, it's like, okay, they like Shen and Neighbors were heavy in terms of the hit totals, and Neighbors, I think, was leading almost all of the playoffs as far as hits for 60 minutes or something like that, at least at that point, through the first three games. But they weren't really creating a whole lot of offense. And you saw what happened when they created offense in that second, in that fourth game, the second game in St. Louis. Neighbors was, he obviously had the tip in for that first goal. It wasn't their line completely. Shem was on the ice with him, but I think it was Sundqvist instead of Kyrou. They were all together for Shem's goal. They were also out there for Fox's goal. So you see that line, you know, really gives them some balance. You can't put everything on that Thomas Vucinavich line, even though they had obviously an outstanding game three, but you just can't count on that every night.
We're talking with Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. Let's jump over to the Cardinals, and there's so much talk about their road record, which is 2-12, which obviously is terrible. Fans think that there's something there. You ask Oliver Marmol, he seems, you know, borderline annoyed by the questions and thinks it's just part of baseball and that, you know, it's just kind of the, you know, the quirkiness of baseball, and at some point in time, it's going to kind of even itself out. You've covered baseball for a really long time. Do you make anything of this tough road record to start the season?
I mean, if it continues, then yes. Like right now, I mean, it is a little early, but I mean, I guess, you know, you fall back to some of those cliches where it's like, you know, that aren't that good, sometimes struggle on the road. But I just don't know if it's early enough. I mean, I think it's a little early to say that's what they fall into that category. Where, you know, when we get another month down the road and their record is looking the same way, and it's like, well, you know, it's maybe that's just who they are. But I mean, you can give them, I guess, a little bit of leeway right now, but at the same time, there's no doubt that there's a big difference between the results on the road and at home, and some of that may be the schedule and all that, but that's why, again, you know, it's a little early right now, but see how it continues.
This is a weird team. Like, they win at home, they don't win on the road. Starting pitching is keeping in the game. Relief pitching has not been especially good. Offense has been mostly good, but a lot of the young guys are starting to take a step back now. It doesn't feel like the identity of this team is completely formed, and that's true for a lot of baseball teams on April 29th. But I think a lot of fans are still trying to figure out, is this a team that can find a way to contend this year, or is this just going to be that kind of throwaway team where guys are going to get runway and you're going to try to learn and maybe at some point you start trading guys off? It's still really early, so I feel dumb asking this question, but where do you sit on this team and their potential ability to actually be a contending kind of team, and not contending for the biggest crown, but contending just to maybe be a playoff team?
Well, I guess having covered some teams where you've got, you know, young players and guys still sort of getting their footing at the major league level, what you get is a lot of inconsistency, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. Again, it's early, but I mean, I think, you know, you see guys have these stretches where they look like potential stars and guys are going to have breakouts, and then you see these long stretches of, you know, where it's like, oh man, they fall into a hole. And same thing with pitching, where, you know, you have a guy who has, like, you know, throws no-hit stuff one night, and then another night, you know, struggles to get through five, and it's that sort of thing, I think, is, you know, what you get with teams that are just sort of, you know, a lot of youth and just not, you know, not as far as the roster makeup. So, and then the second part, I mean, like you said, the runway and everything, that's as much as they have pretty much told you with the things they've said and the things they've done throughout the winter, that this season's about finding out about guys. Can they make a playoff push? And I understand that if you talk to players, and, you know, Ollie Marmol is not going to come out and say this season is about losing. But as far as the actions and what we've seen throughout the winter and the things that they have focused on as far as runway, who's going to get playing time, making sure you put guys in certain positions to clear a path for them, that's what the season is about. So the record, as much as, you know, it goes against everything that people in St. Louis have become accustomed to, the record is not really the focus. At least that's not what the season's going to be about.
Yeah, that's what they've said. Sometimes they do things in games and it kind of confuses you. Is this about the runway or is it about winning? But it's just kind of a murky mess in so many ways right now. Lynn Worthy, he is a sports columnist with the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. Lynn, I know we asked you last minute on this, so thank you so much for taking some time with us, and hopefully we'll see you at the ballpark real soon.
All right, no problem. Thanks.
You bet. That's Lynn Worthy joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. We've talked about this over and over, and it's why I'm trying to choose my words carefully, because I would just love to know, like, internally, what's motivating all the decisions that are made, or most of the decisions that are being made? And this is, I've talked about this a lot, like my struggles in the job that I do, because part of my job, especially when it comes to, you know, hosting a post game show and talking about things on shows like this and Redbird Rush Hour, like, you want to know what the plan is. You want to know why for teams that are all in. Well, then every decision that is made should have something to do with winning. And with where the Cardinals are at right now, not every decision is motivated by winning. Some decisions are motivated by giving guys playing time and putting guys into certain situations just to give them that experience and things like that. And what's challenging is sometimes the Cardinals do things that make you feel like, okay, the focus is winning. When you run Phil Maton out there 13 of the first 23 times, while a young guy that you added on the 40-man roster in the offseason and Matt Svensson is just sitting in the bullpen not getting any work, that's not a runway move. That's a win now move. Because I know the team thinks highly of Matt Svensson. They didn't have to add him to the 40-man roster in the offseason. There's not even a guarantee that if they wouldn't have added him to the 40-man roster that he would have even been plucked by any other team in baseball. That's not a guarantee sort of thing. It was probably a 50-50 shot that he would have been selected. So they think enough of a guy like Svensson that they put him on the 40-man roster in the offseason. But then he just kind of sits out there. And does Phil Maton give you the best chance to win over Matt Svensson? Yeah, of course he does. I'm not arguing the other side of it. But that's where I struggle with this whole thing, because maybe we just need to throw the bullpen decisions out the window. Maybe those aren't the runway decisions. Maybe the runway decisions are about starting pitching, Matthew Liberatore. About the lineup, Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman. Maybe the bullpen's different. Maybe it's not as valuable to give guys runway in the bullpen. That's not so much about trying to figure out who guys are from a relief pitching standpoint. And there's probably some truth to that. How much are we really going to learn about Matt Svensson by throwing him in there? And how valuable is that going to be to the long-term health of the St. Louis Cardinals? The long-term health of the St. Louis Cardinals is very much impacted by if Matthew Liberatore can be an every fifth day starter. Very impacted by if Jordan Walker can reach his potential. Very impacted by if Nolan Gorman can be a 30 home run guy. Is it really that impacted
by, hey, Matt Swanson can be a nice, reliable reliever for us out of the bullpen. So it's not an apples-to-apples thing when we're talking about starting pitching and position players, especially everyday position players, or potential everyday position players, versus arms in the bullpen. I get that. But it is still, I think, a challenge. It's a challenge for me, so I would have to think it's a challenge for most of you, where we hear about runway and opportunities and youth and all of that. Yet sometimes the decisions that are made seem to be going against that. And by the way, I think internally the Cardinals think they can win this year. I think internally they have a belief that this can be a pretty good season. And we're not talking like World Series. We're not talking deep run in the playoffs. But we're talking hang around in the playoff picture. And who knows? Maybe something happens in the final month of the season and you steal a playoff spot. To me, that's kind of the ceiling of the team this year. And I think there's probably a lot of people with the Cardinals who think that that is a legitimate possibility. I think it's a legitimate possibility as well, for that matter. All right, we'll take a break. We've got a lot more coming up. Joe Roderick's going to join us in about an hour. We'll have time for your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, all of that stuff. We'll talk Cardinals. We'll get a little Blues in there as well. We got lots of stuff to get to. It's not going to be hard getting to 8 o'clock tonight as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, an unexpected Graybar Sports Open Line. We expected it to have baseball, but no baseball is being played because it is raining. Actually, one of our listeners lives in Cincinnati and said that he lives in Cincinnati and the storm right now is incredible. No way the game could have been played. I'll yell this one to the high heavens. We need to, let's normalize postponing baseball games when you know that you're not going to play. It was Boston this year, right? Wasn't it? They were never going to play that game. They were never, ever, ever, ever going to play that game that got rained out in Boston. There was no window. There was no opportunity. Like, there was nothing. And we sat there for hours. I remember. I'd lost my voice, so I sounded terrible. I felt terrible. Yeah, I'm making this about me right now. But it's bigger than that, much bigger than that. But that's why I remember that day so well, because I felt terrible. And we're just sitting there. They were never going to play the game. So I don't have a lot of nice things to say about the Cincinnati Reds. Kudos to the Cincinnati Reds. I appreciate you, Cincinnati Reds, for saying, hey, let's look at the radar. Hey, it's going to start raining in a half hour, and it's not going to stop for 2 days, basically. And we'll see about tomorrow. It's a little bit of a different situation because, man, you got a doubleheader. You got to get at least one of those games in for sure tomorrow. But there's some bad weather that's sitting there in Cincinnati tomorrow as well. The worst thing would be for them, because they're doing a day-night doubleheader tomorrow. The worst thing would be if that first game is delayed by a bunch and then it like runs into the time that the second game is going to go. I'm going to like open up the curtain a little bit for you, more so than you probably want to have the curtain open. But this happened once last season. So like tomorrow is the day night doubleheader. So from a radio standpoint, I'm going to get really radio nerdy with you. Just bear with me for a second. So tomorrow, from a technical standpoint, and we've got like 150 affiliates on the Cardinal Radio Network. From a technical standpoint, it's going to be two completely separate broadcasts. The first game's going to end, and then KMOX is just going to run our regular programming. All the stations across the network will run their normal programming, and then at 4:45 when we start the pregame show, then everybody will pick it back up. So there was a time last, and where you get in trouble is if the first game is delayed so much that you don't get off the air by the time the second broadcast is about to start, then you got issues. You got technical issues. And there was a time last year that almost happened,
where we were really pushing to get that post game show over with, just to make sure that we didn't have to get there. Text message says I am being a little selfish when I'm not. Look, it's not like I'm actually working more tonight. Not working as late, but you know the work portion. I'm doing more work hosting Sports Open Line than probably doing Cardinals pre post. There's no reason to just sit around and wait. Now the other side of that is the amazing audio that we have that we play during rain delay. Like just some of this stuff that we play for you is so awesome, and I love being able to sit back and listen to it. So that's the positive. The negatives is like, why are we doing this? They're never going to play this game. We're just going to sit here for 3 hours, and then they're going to cancel it when they could have made that decision 5 hours ago. The positive is we get to play this audio for you. That is very, very, very cool. Text message coming in says from the 618 says, I'm not freaking out about Cardinals road games, but the sports analysts are, and so it feeds everyone else. Let's just wait and see. The season is early. I don't blame the DeWitts for every downfall, and goes on to say some other nice things. Yeah, so look, I'll say this though, like what the sports writers who are asking about the record here at the beginning of the season, they're not doing their job if they're not asking about it. I agree with Oliver, and I if you heard him last night specifically on the his post game comments, I think Ollie was a little frustrated being asked about it again. Like, it's not something that he really wants to talk about. And I agree with Ollie that it's more nothing than anything, that this is something, it's just fluky, and that happens in baseball. You know, he keeps saying, and I'll kind of parrot him on this, he keeps talking about the fact that, you know, it was last year, I think it was last year, where the Cardinals couldn't win a first game of the series to save their lives, and that's all that was asked about, and then all of a sudden it just kind of started working itself out. That is, I'm 99% sure that's what's going to happen here. And if it doesn't happen here, if we are 2 months into the season, 3 months into the season, and their road record is still terrible and their home record is still really good, then is when, at that point in time, if Ollie is still sitting there saying, it's just kind of quirky, it's just baseball being baseball, at that point I would push back on him a little bit. Because at that point there's enough of a sample size that's like, okay, something's leading to this. This is not just coincidence. Something is leading to this. We're not at that point yet. We're not at that point yet. And so let's just go from there. Got a text message from 314 says, I've listened to you for a few hours. I know what you're saying. We're talking about the rain delay stuff. But you also have to think about the people that have tickets and the plans that they have to change. If you have a chance to play the game, if you have a legitimate chance to play the game, that's not what I'm talking about. But whether you have tickets and you have to change your plans, if you know you're not going to play, just bang it. Just don't play it. Postpone it. Now, if there's a legitimate chance to be able to play it, that's a completely different thing. I guess sometimes they'll tell you that they're waiting to see if a weather system maybe, because sometimes it'll be like a question about a weather system's coming in, and you know what? It might stay north. It might stay south. It might die out before it gets here. In those type of situations where there is a legitimate possibility that it could change, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, like specifically that day in Boston, they were never going to play that game. There is not a weather person in the world that would have told you they were going to play that game. So kudos to the good folks in Cincinnati for making the decision that they made. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. For those of you who are watching the stream on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, you can leave a comment. We'll take your phone calls, though. We got an opportunity, especially with this kind of being an unscheduled sports open line. We've got an opportunity to take phone calls. So if you want to get in here on anything Cardinals related, you can do so. Again, 314-436-7900. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up hour number one in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. Hour number two, our good friend Joe Roderick's going to join us. He's going to be with us at about 7:35. We'll keep the phone lines open. So after the 7 o'clock news, if you want to chime in on anything Cardinals related, that's going to be your opportunity to do so. We've got some more text messages that we'll respond to. Also, if you are watching the show on our various social media channels, you can comment there, and we will certainly get to that as we go along. So quickly, and I don't know if you know all the background on this, at the Battlehawks game this past weekend, there was a player for the other team who got into it with a fan, and dude slapped the fan. The video's out there on social media. Kyle, have you seen this video that I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm saying?
I haven't seen it,
no. So the player from the other team, I mean, he didn't like what the fan was saying. Open hand, boom, just like hits the dude square up. In the social media video, which is being filmed kind of far away, like you could hear the whomp of of the slap. Like it was a legit slap. And then one of his teammates is like laughing as they walk away. So I love the Battlehawks. I'm glad that we get Battlehawks players on every week. Appreciate what the UFL is trying to do. They issued a statement, like I think yesterday or 2 days ago, that's just basically saying, we're aware. Yeah, we know you're aware. Everybody's aware. It's on social media. Like, say a little bit more. But today, they did announce that the guy's been suspended for one game. One game. If you go into the stands, and I guess he didn't go into the stands. He was on the field looking up. And I'm not trying to say, I don't know what the fan said. Well, let's even assume, like, for this conversation, the fan said something they should not say. That does not give the player the right to go slap a dude. What's the league doing? Like, this guy shouldn't play again this year, right? Like, am I one game? One game doesn't seem enough. I feel like if this happens in the NFL or the NBA, it can't really happen in it'd be tough for it to happen in the NHL. If it happened in baseball, it would be a pretty serious suspension that was handed down. It would be leading every single sports show and everything. It happened at a Battlehawks game in the UFL, so it's not going to get the attention. But am I wrong? Does a one-game suspension seem a little light for that?
It definitely does. I didn't see the video, but I'm kind of surprised he wasn't held back more than so he was just able to go up there.
And yeah, that's it was crazy. Just him and his teammate, and teammate thought it was funny.
Wow.
That dude should be suspended for one game.
Yeah.
And the other guy should be suspended for the entire season.
Agreed.
If I was the czar of the United Football League, that would be my decision. If you slap somebody in the stands, no matter what they say, and if they said that, there can be culpability for what, not culpability, but there can be accountability for what happens with the fan as well. If they went across the line. But that player should not play another game in the league, at least for the rest of this year. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it with an unexpected show this evening. We expected of Cardinals baseball, but the Cardinals and Reds rained out. Doubleheader, split doubleheader tomorrow as they'll play the first game fairly early in the morning. That's going to be, what, an 11:50 first pitch? I should know this off the top of my head, but yeah. And then the second game will be the normally scheduled time. So our broadcast tomorrow will begin for game number one at 10:45 for the 11:40 first pitch. And then our broadcast for game two, 5:40 first pitch, will be at 4:45. Cardinals have announced that Miles Michaelis will start game number one. Steven Matz will start game number two. And you would think that they'll get a player added to the roster because it's a doubleheader. I would think there is a good chance that they add somebody that can give them length. Maybe that's a Gordon Graceffo. Maybe it's somebody else that, you know, even a Rodri Munoz has been stretched out a little bit. But somebody like Gordon Graceffo probably makes a lot of sense because if something happens in game number one with Miles Michaelis,
you can have some cover, and that can maybe help you for game number two. But that's what's going to be coming up tomorrow. If you want to join the program, now is the opportunity to do so. Multiple ways to get connected, but if you do want to call in, you can do so at 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. That is the number to call. That's also the number to text. If you have anything Cardinals related to get to, you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or if you are watching on the video stream, you can just leave a comment, and we can address those comments as we go along throughout the course of the program today. We were talking about the road record. Somebody from the 618 says, I know it's all frustrating, says, I understand completely the questions and the doubts will always be there about road games, player decisions, manager decisions, strategies. It's all part of the business of the game. You know, something, this is going to kind of sound funny. We're, what, 3 weeks into the season, 4 weeks into the season? Like, we're not that deep into the season. There have been more moments here early on in the season where decisions have been made in games that have became really interesting talking points. And it's fun for me. I really enjoy it. I can't tell you, being able to like dissect the move, like what we did on Redbird Rush Hour today. And if you missed the show, you can always go back and find the archive version of the show either on the video platforms, or if you just want to listen to it on podcast form, you can find the podcast at KMOX.com and via the Odyssey app. Kevin Wheeler and I spent like 30 minutes today breaking down all aspects of the decision for Mason Wynn to bunt yesterday in the fifth inning with runners on at first and second and nobody out. And I like, maybe I'm just a nerd when it comes to baseball. I think we're all nerds about something. Like the things that you're passionate about, you're kind of a nerd about. And maybe I should just use the word passionate and not nerd. But yeah, that's the sort of thing that I really like to be able to dig into. And I say this about Ollie a lot, Oliver Marmol. I always like respect the decisions that he makes because I know they're well thought out. Even when I disagree with them, there's the path that he takes down, that he goes down to find the decisions that he makes. They're always reasonable. Always at the very least, they are reasonable, and more often than not, they're spot on. You know, something like yesterday, he makes the decision to bunt Mason Wynn to get runners at second and third with Lars Nootbaar to come up to the plate because he likes the idea of Nootbaar batting with runners at second and third and feels like that's a great opportunity to drive in two runs. That is a completely legitimate way to look at things. I'm not mad about that decision. That's the route he went down. Like I think his reasoning, his motivation for that decision is a completely legitimate thing. Would have I done it that way? No, I wouldn't have. In that spot, I'm letting Mason Wynn swing away, knowing that I've still got a pretty good chance to turn this into at least one run, pretty good chance to have this be two runs, and I'm leaving open the opportunity for this to be a big inning. And in today's game of baseball, that's how you win games. You win games with big innings. And so I would have done it slightly different than he did it. That doesn't mean what he did was wrong. It also doesn't mean what I would have done was right. I'm also not somebody who is really worried about like the outcome in terms of if it was a good decision or a bad decision. Like the other day when the Brewers used McGill in the ninth inning. There were a lot of, and he gave it up, right? That was when Arenado hit the home run. There were a lot of people out there that puffed up their chest a little bit and said, you see, this is why you don't use your closer on the road in the ninth inning. And generally speaking, like, and this goes back to that Mets game where they had the heart of their order coming up and Helsley didn't pitch and a lot of people wanted Helsley to be in there. Most managers in baseball do not use the closer in the ninth inning on the road. And 99.9% of the time, I agree with that decision. That is, generally speaking, the correct decision. That is the, generally speaking, that is the correct way to manage a baseball game. But not every moment is the same. And in that situation with the Mets, and I'm not trying to relitigate something from over a week ago, but in that situation with the Mets, I think you also look at who's going to be coming up and things like that. So, again, going back to the decision-making process of an Oliver Marmol, his decision-making process was a very legitimate one in that moment. That he there was a reason not to pitch Helsley. There's also a reason to pitch Helsley. And the fact that McGill gives up a home run to Arenado a week later in that sort of situation and doesn't have success as a closer in the ninth on the road, that's not a reason not to do it. There are other reasons not to do it. That's not one of them. So I really enjoy that. And so, you know, that move, there's just been a bunch of them. There was a time earlier this year where it felt like Wynn could have been pinch hit for. I think Gorman was on the bench and they didn't do that. There's just been a bunch. There's been a lot of moments this year where it's been kind of one of those 50-50 calls or 51-49s where the decisions that were made weren't bad decisions, but it's decisions that it's fun to talk about. It's fun to really kind of go down a rabbit hole on why the decision was made the way it was made. And maybe I'm just being a prisoner of the moment. I am well aware of the fact that that can happen. But to me, it feels like there have been more of those moments this year than there are in most years, especially at this point in the season. And the other side of that is, look, the Cardinals are playing a lot of close games, right? Decisions matter more in games that are close. And if you make a decision that doesn't work for you and you're up six runs or you're down six runs, it didn't really impact the game. It was just a decision that maybe changed the final score. But the Cardinals keep playing games that they're competitive in. That's the thing about this. There's only been like two games this year that they've just been completely out of, completely rocked, like not in the game whatsoever. And there was that game against the Braves. No, check that. It wasn't the Braves. There was a game against Boston and a game against the there was one other one. I can't even think of which one it was. So basically, there's been like two games this year where they haven't been in it. And when you are playing close games every single night, decisions that are made there's that much more of a spotlight on them. Let's grab John, who's giving us a call. Hey, John, you're on the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Hi, Matt. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment on Mozeliak and why he still has a job. And it boggles my mind. He decimated the farm system, and yet the owner seems to go along with it. And I don't think I'm alone in my beliefs. If you heard the reaction of the crowd on opening day when he was announced, he's like a lame duck president, because his successor, I don't know what they're doing between the two of them, but why doesn't the owner just let Mozeliak go, save that money, plug it back into the farm system? I mean, he needs to be held accountable.
John, can I stop you? Because you've said a couple things I want to kind of go back with you on. So hang tight here. I've got a couple follow-ups. Do you really think he's decimated the farm system, or do you think you're being a little strong in your wording there?
Well, if you look around at the Cardinals that he traded out of the farm system, a good example is a Rosarena. He's just one that was an impact player.
But no, if you say he decimated the farm system, that infers that the farm system is really bad. And I would contend that there's a lot of... Hold on. I let you talk. Let me talk a little bit here. We go back and forth. I would contend that there's a lot of guys on the big league roster that are pretty darn good that have been produced from the minor league system. Brendan Donovan, Mason Wynn, Victor Scott, Matthew Liberatore, Pedro Páez, Ivan Herrera. Like, I can go on. There's a bunch of guys at AAA to be pretty excited about Michael McGreevy, Quinn Matthews, Jimmy Crooks. Like, that's, to me, if there was nothing coming and if there was nothing there from the farm system, that would be an example of a decimated farm system. So my first thing is I would push back on your use of the term decimated.
Okay, Matt, but where are they at? They're one place ahead of the last place, Pittsburgh Pirates, in the worst division of all of baseball. That sums it up.
Okay, but that doesn't have anything to do with a farm system and whether or not it's decimated.
Well, sure it does. If he had held on to the... I don't think he's a good baseball man, okay? If he had held on to those players that he traded away out of our farm system, we wouldn't be in second to last place.
If Randy Arozarena's on the team right now, you think they're not in the exact same spot?
Him and others.
Like who?
Yeah, that are difference makers.
Who?
There was a pitcher that he let go. That wasn't he the Cy Young Award winner one year?
I mean, look, Alcantara was obviously in the organization, but I don't think anybody looks back at that trade and say it wasn't needed at the time. The Arizona guy was in the organization, but nobody saw him going to the spot that he's in right now. Like, he's made trades, and some of those guys have gone on to do things. Arozarena is obviously the one that I think sticks out to people, but the jury is still out on that one a little bit, and it's starting to turn based off what we've seen here recently. And then...
Well, okay, maybe it was a poor choice of words, Matt.
Okay.
But if they're investing all this money in the farm system, I mean, tons of money, why? Because it was decimated.
Yeah. Okay? Look, the cyst, they needed to redo the farm system, the work that Heim Bloom is doing. And that's the second part of what you said that I want to respond to. First off, you don't move on from John Mozeliak and then all of a sudden have his salary to spend place. First off, his salary is a drop in the bucket when you're dealing with big things like they're dealing with. And he still has a contract. So even if they would have let him go, they're still paying for him. I would contend, John, that the work that Heim Bloom is doing right now to try to get the farm system back to a point where it is drafting and developing at a better rate than it has been in recent years, that work, bluntly, is more important right now than some of the stuff that John Mozeliak's doing. So let Heim focus on that part of the job for this year, and then he'll step in next year. I have no... like, people who want Mo gone now, it doesn't do anything for you at this point. He's done at the end of the year, and Heim is focused right now on the things that are going to have a longer, more exponential impact on this organization.
Okay. But again, my point is, Mozeliak is a lame duck.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, he is.
Okay. And you're spending money on a lame duck. Why?
Well, I mean, they were going to spend... Then we would go back 3 years and say, why did you give him the contract extension 3 years ago? And if you want to make that point, it's a valid point. Should have they not done that 3 years ago or whenever that was done? But I don't think that's an argument for 7:20 p.m. on April 29th, 2025.
Okay. Matt, can I put a plug out for the Kentucky Derby this Saturday?
Sure.
If people want to come over to friendly Fairmont Park, the post time there for live racing is 1:30, and we will be televising the Derby. In fact, people can...
Oh, John, I think... did we lose you? We lost John. We did not do that on purpose. We were not trying to stop him from mentioning that. So I think he said Fairmont Park, Kentucky Derby. I love Fairmount Park. I've never been there, but I just love the idea of it. I love the idea of horse racing. So, John, we did not do that on purpose. We got to take a break. We got phone calls. We'll continue this conversation in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. No Cardinals baseball tonight due to the rainout in Cincinnati. Doubleheader coming up tomorrow into a spirited conversation. Let's keep rolling with some phone calls here. 314-436-7900. Paul has given us a call. Hey, Paul, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, Matt. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
And I think I respectfully would just ask John to be patient and just, you know, not take things at face value as of the end of April. It's not pretty, but I think it's definitely going to do nothing but improve as the season goes on, and we're going to have fun with the process. but
I hope so. And I, by the way, I really enjoyed that conversation with John. Like, I got no problem with people challenging me, and I thought it was a fun call for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But I think, you know, our starting pitching, despite Eric Fetty having a laying an egg kind of with the walks and getting off on the wrong foot, and we were probably destined to lose with Jose Quintana, who, don't get me started, you know, we may have beat the Phillies in that 2 out of 3 series if he wasn't replaced 73 pitches into the night and first after he struck out the first guy in the 6th inning and we're up 2-0 and we end up losing the game 5-2. But with regard to, you know, the young guys, right now I think the biggest thing that's going to help our offense is to get Ivan Herrera back, arguably our best hitter, at least with OPS. And I hope he's only like a week away, I would guess, as get him in there as DH. But, you know, if just one of Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker can take that next step and start to do what we all think they're capable of, oh my gosh, what a difference that would make. And then I'm really excited, and I'll hang up and let you respond, but about these two young outfielders, and that's, again, indicative of how we're going to have fun this year by just trying some of these young guys. Barrero and then Matt Kupierniak, all the guy did in spring training is hit, and he's a hit machine. So I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I think Kupierniak especially is the one who's maybe the most interesting guy to talk about, and I don't know what it's going to take for him to get an opportunity at the big league level. And his numbers this year at Memphis, not great. He needs to hit a little bit more at Memphis. He's got a sub-200 average here at the moment. But to your point, during spring training and even that exhibition game between the Cardinals and Memphis, he has looked really, really good. So I think the bottom line is this team is fun to watch more often than not. Now, like yesterday, that's the or not. Yesterday was not a fun game to watch. That was a challenging game from an offensive standpoint. So it's, and they've had more of those here recently. But generally speaking, going and watching Mason Winn, going and watching Victor Scott II, and I think they are going to get better as the year goes along. The big question is, can they get better quick enough that they're not buried in the standings? Because if they keep on this 12-17 pace, we're 3 weeks out, a month out from them being buried. And at that point, you're looking to trade Ryan Helsley. You're looking to trade Eric Fetty. You might be looking to see if something's out there with Nolan Arenado. They have to stay within striking distance for, I think, the team to continue to feel like they're playing for something. But the young guys that we are seeing, that especially like a Victor Scott II, man, that's been so much fun watching them. Would you like to see a Jordan Walker get out of it? Yeah, I think you're right. Everybody would agree with what you just said. If you can start getting production from Walker or Gorman, that changes everything on this team. Let's grab Carlos, who's giving us a call. Hey, Carlos, you are on Sports Open Line.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right.
I'm doing fine. I've been a Cardinal fan my entire life. I wanted to see how the rotation is going to do for the next week since we have a rain delay and the rotation is going to be probably push up or push back for the next 6 days. And I want also how to look at the minor league system, how the minor league players from AA and AAA, how they doing. And I'll also, like the last caller say, I want to see some of these young players, the young players that are doing great, Victor Scott. Basically, all the young players are doing good, but we just need some of these veteran players to step up more.
All right, Carlos, appreciate the phone call. As far as the rotation goes, tomorrow it's going to be Michaelis and Matt, just like it was going to be. And then everything else stays the same. They're staying in the 6-man rotation. So Liberatore will pitch the series finale on Thursday, and then they'll open up that Met series on Friday with Sonny Gray and Eric Fetty and just roll from there. So no changes are being made. They're in the 6-man rotation, so you don't have to push anything in terms of there was an unexpected off day today, 2 games tomorrow, but everything should be able to stay the same since they are in that 6-man rotation. I would push back a little bit on you on saying that all the young guys are doing a nice job. They're not. There's some young guys who are struggling right now. Jordan Walker's struggling. Nolan Gorman is struggling. Victor Scott, his numbers have come back a little bit, but I'm still pretty comfortable with what he's done. But
The guys who are performing right now are Lars Nootbaar, Brendan Donovan, Nolan Arenado to a certain extent, Wilson Contreras here recently. So I would actually push back, and I would say from an offensive standpoint, it's actually some of the more established guys that are performing right now, and some of the younger guys have a little ways to go. Last text, are you paid by the Cardinals to be a cheerleader? Generally, I just ignore those type of text, but I'm always amazed because I'm not going to like throw flames. I'm not going to throw fire. I'm not a hot take guy. I am critical. Like in the last hour, I've talked about the fact that the DeWitts, as much as I think they're really good owners, there is culpability there on for where this organization has gone to. I've talked about moves that last night, I'm not bunting Mason Wynn in that spot. I'm letting him swing away. I constantly say the things that I disagree with that's going on. I said that the work that Chaim Bloom is doing is almost more important than the work that John Mozeliak's doing because the Cardinals need to fix the farm system. Like I say all these things. And then I say the good things that are going on as well. You know what I am? I'm somebody who assesses everything in a very fair kind of way. And other people in the media like to just throw gas on the fire and everything is terrible and it's just nothing's good and fire everybody, sell the team, move them to Nashville, like all these stupid things that people say. That's not me. I assess things from a place of looking at it and evaluating what's good, what's bad, and I share that. And you know what? It's not all bad with the Cardinals. It's not all bad. And God forbid I say something good that's going on and I get the, oh, you're a homer, you're a cheerleader, you're carrying water. Yeah. All right, Joe Roderick's going to join us in just a moment. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, an unexpected Sports Open Line because of the Cardinals' rainout. Doubleheader coming up tomorrow. Coverage of Game 1 is going to be at 10:45 tomorrow morning. So we've got a full day of baseball tomorrow right here on KMOX. Let's bring on one of the friends of the program. You see him, you hear him over at Sports Hub STL. They're just doing a great job over there. Not just of established voices like himself, but of really bringing in some new voices to talk St. Louis sports. It's been really fun to see a lot of the content that they have been producing here lately, digitally and everything they do. It's our good friend Joe Roderick. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Unexpected show. Glad that we're able to talk with you a little bit. And like I said, you guys are always talking over at Sports Hub. We'll mention that a little bit more in a bit. Let's start with the Blues, though. How much fun has this been just watching this run that the team has been on and then for them to play the way they did in games 3 and 4 where it just feels like they have so much momentum right now?
It has been so much fun, and it is. I mean, you hear it. I think you hear it all the time. You hear a lot of people saying it around town that memories of 2019, and that's the last time that I've been this locked in to the Blues. I think COVID kind of killed my interest in it, and then they weren't good, and then it just so happens. I mean, we launched Sports Hub STL during the Four Nations tournament, like that was going on. We launched on February 17th, so they were right there during the Four Nations, and when they come back, they were just red hot. And prior to that, I was not really following them at all. And then when start kind of scheduling it and doing the watching our post game shows every day, I haven't been on any of the post game shows. If I'm on there talking hockey, we have a huge problem with our staff that night. But just watching some of the guys that know puck talk about it, it has been so much fun to watch this team. And now the run that they're on, the last two games at Enterprise, it just seems like such an amazing atmosphere.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of people who have really kind of jumped on this bandwagon, and it's just been a lot of fun. The only thing I would push back on you a little bit, I think they were interesting in 2022, and that was the year they lost to the Avalanche where Bennington went down, and it felt like if Bennington would have stayed in there, maybe they would have beat Colorado in that series. Maybe not. Colorado was really, really good. So I was certainly interested at that point. But to your point, they have been a mostly uninteresting team in most of the years since the Stanley Cup, and they are, it's amazing. They were boring and uninteresting at the beginning of this season, and then the coaching change happens, and now they are as interesting of a team that exists in the National Hockey League.
Oh, for sure. You can see the energy, and you see the press conference. What Monty today shows up to the press conference, huge cut on his face, and it just seems like these guys are locked in. And people that you talk to that are around this team all the time have said there is such a huge shift in the atmosphere of this organization when Monty got behind the bench. And nothing against Bannister, but you could just tell that the guys are so locked in on him and have bought into everything that he has brought over to this team.
And the backstory, by the way, on the bandaged cheek for Montgomery today, he was telling his guys that, you know what, it's not that hard to block out in front of the net. So he was on the ice, he's blocking out, and then there's like a slap shot that goes off of the post, deflects off the post, and hits him in the cheek, and he had quite the bruise today. But that's perfect, right? Like, that just goes along with everything. And you know, he laughed about it and said hopefully it doesn't impact his ability to eat, because that's what he likes to do. Like, it's just it there's so much personality and fun that's going on with this team.
Yeah, and if you're a player, they blew out the Jets at Enterprise those last two games, and if you're a player, any momentum that you had, I mean, how much more does that help you? How much more do you just buy in, and are you just willing to, you know, just lay out for that coach if that's the guy that's going to be out there trying to motivate you day in and day out?
All right, let's jump over to the Cardinals. We're talking with Joe Roderick. There's been good, there's been bad. That doesn't feel like they've really established their identity yet. At times, offensively, they're really good. Sometimes they're not. Starting pitching, for the most part, has been good. We know about the bullpen. We know that they play well at home. We know they haven't played well on the road. There's a lot that I just said. What is your general takeaway of this team with where they sit right now, 29 games into the season?
It's pure frustration. It is, and I would imagine that I'm not alone in thinking that. You look at what they did that first week at home and the offensive output they had and the high praise that we were giving to Brant Brown for the approach and having these hitters ready. And I don't know where the miscommunication has seemed to happen, but so many games lately that it just seems like they're putting 1-0, 2 runs out there and the offense has just gone away. And I think it's not a coincidence that also happened right when Ivan Herrera went down. I think the Cardinals miss him a lot, but now, you know, along with the frustration of the team, there's the kind of, you know, we're revisiting the frustration of Jordan Walker. We're starting to see some of the issues with him that we've seen the last 2 years with him that got him sent down to Memphis throughout the season. And you keep reminding yourself, he's, what, 23 years old. He's a kid. And he is far, far from his prime. And you don't want to give up on him. You don't want to watch him go somewhere else and just have an amazing career. But at some point, something has to click here on the big league level, because there's too much talent there. There is too much power in that bat. We've seen it. We've seen the 110 plus mile an hour exit velos off of him. We've seen the work that he's put in the outfield to become a very good right fielder for this team. We see all the tools there with him. And it's just not clicking, and it's happening way too much. And the Cardinals need to figure that out with him. I think that's one of the biggest things, and one of the biggest frustrating parts of this season has been the lack of offense out of Jordan Walker. And then you add to that, I think we had the stat today that they have the second most quality starts of any team in baseball, second behind, I think, the Houston Astros right now. And they're just kind of, you know, letting them get away. They're 6-8, I think, in their quality starts that the pitchers have. That's not good. I mean, 14 quality starts, you need to have at least 12 wins out of that, right?
You do. And that's to see starting pitching, which was really, I think, a question mark coming in, to see what it's doing now and the fact that they can't take advantage of it, there's frustration. You know, I mentioned Jordan Walker. Aaron Judge made his major league debut when he was 24. So he was older than Jordan Walker is right now when he made his major league debut. And in his age 24 season, the dude hit 179. He didn't really start putting it together until his age 25 season. So, Joe, people want to throw Jordan Walker away because he's been around for a little while and hasn't put it all together yet. But he's literally 2 years short of the age where Aaron Judge started to put it together.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, he has so much time in professional baseball still left. But if the conversation starts and there's any idea, and I don't know where he's at with options right now, but I mean, you've sent him down to Memphis how many times?
Yeah,
that's gotta mess with a guy at some point. You can't do it again, right? You can't keep sending him down there when he has a problem. He's got to figure it out up here. You have the big league coaches up here. You have the resources in St. Louis for him to figure it out. I don't believe he was set to be in the lineup today. I glanced at it really quickly, and then I saw the rain out, and I completely wiped the Cardinals out of my mind for tonight. But I don't think he was in the lineup today. And he does. He needs some days off if he's not going to figure it out, because you do have other pieces that we want to see up here.
This is where I lament him being sent down originally. Remember that year where he started off the season and he was on that long hitting streak, but he wasn't doing the things they wanted him to do in terms of getting the ball in the air, and all those things are important, but it felt like they jumped the gun in that moment, sending him down. And now I think you're right when saying you can't do that again. So if they would have handled him differently a couple years ago, maybe it's a different spot right now.
100%. Yeah. Right now, aside from the talent, aside from the hitting, you don't want to keep messing with the guys mentally with that. He needs to stay up here. He needs to figure it out here. If this is going to be a reset or the runway or whatever keywords that we keep hearing the organization use, then you know what? Let him go. Same with a guy like Nolan Gorman. If we're not going for a wild card spot, if that's not in the cards this year, if we're watching them fade away in the National League Central, then you let those guys play and you figure it out. You let Wynn, you let Scott, you let Walker, you let Gorman, you let those guys play every single day. And then you decide, okay, are those four guys going to be the core of the rebuild when everything else happens? Outside of, by the way, Donovan. I don't want to even hear rumors of Donovan possibly being on the trade block, because he is the leader of this team and he needs to be in the middle of that core too with whatever you have. So there you go. Five guys right there. Figure out the rest around them.
He is Joe Roderick, Sports Hub STL. They have content that they produce every single day. They do post-game shows for every single St. Louis sport. It's great. And by the way, there's a lot of young voices that are being featured there that maybe you haven't heard before, who I think are doing a really good job. So if nothing else, it's a great forum for this sports market to find some new voices, which is a good thing. So, Joe, always appreciate
it. We got a 19-year-old doing some of our Blues post-game stuff. I mean, that's how young we're talking with some of these voices that we have. And the guy does play-by-play. Jacob Stonick is his name. He does play-by-play for Lindenwood hockey, and he knows his stuff. So, yeah, those the post-game shows, everything on YouTube that people could watch after the game, and they can see. I mean, we had a guy, too, that came on and said he would shave his head if the Blues made the playoffs. And this is when they were far out. I think they were two or three back in the wild card, and now you can watch him on the post game shows completely bald. So we got a great crew there, along with a lot of established voices, as you mentioned, a lot of great young up and coming guys that you're going to hear in St. Louis for many, many years to come.
Joe, great stuff. Enjoy the time, and we'll talk again real soon.
Absolutely, Matt, anytime.
All right, that's Joe Roderick, Sports Hub STL. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the program. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
All right, starting to wrap up the program, the impromptu Sports Open Line. Appreciate all the people being tuned in. Again, Cardinals rained out tonight in Cincinnati, so let's go ahead and play two coming up tomorrow. Cardinals and Reds. Game one is going to start at 11:40 tomorrow morning. That means our coverage at 10:45. Tom Ackerman's going to have you for the pregame show coming up tomorrow. Miles Michaelis will be the game one starter. And then the second game is going to be a 5:40 first pitch, 4:45 for the pregame. And Steven Matz is going to start game number two. I'll have you tomorrow for game one post and then all of the game two pre and post. And of course, the most important part, the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, along with Ricky Horton. They will be bringing you all the action right here on KMOX and across the Cardinals radio network. This is lots of interaction. This has been a fun show tonight. So thanks for being tuned in. You never really know what you're going to get in these unscheduled sort of situations, but turned into a really good show. So we will talk to you again tomorrow for Cardinals baseball. Up next, it's the Gas House Gang with Oliver Marmol on KMOX.